Costa. Scripture readings.
Okay, the first reading is Hebrews 7, 25 to 28. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted from the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. And the other reading, John 11, 42. As I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.
Thank you for the reading of the scriptures. It's a privilege to be here today. To speak the word of God, and I want to appreciate my friend and my brother Dave and my friend Doug for the invite and for the leadership of the church here, for the work that you are doing in this part of the United Kingdom. May the good Lord continue to bless you as you labor for the Lord. So it's a privilege that I come to speak just a few words. Then we can pray together. I want to appreciate Brother Derek. He's one of the leaders in the church in Corby, and he drove all the way, and I found him here. So thank you for coming. I just want to speak and encourage us concerning the scriptures that have been read from the book of Hebrews chapter 7. I'm going to go there again, and then we can pray together. There are some things that I'm picking from the book of Hebrews. The Bible in verse 20 says, inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever. So talking about Jesus, you are a priest forever. And there is a comparison of the priesthood from Aaron. Anyone who is an Aaronic priest, the Bible is telling us they were priests without an oath. There was no oath given to them. But when we talk about Jesus as our priest, he is a priest with an oath, and God gave an oath, and he said, you are a priest forever. And now the scripture that she read, verse number 25, it said, Jesus Christ as our priest who lives forever is able to serve to the uttermost those that come to him, because he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. So those of Aaron would come and die. and you want to go to the priest to pray for you the next day, you get there, there is a funeral, the priest is dead. Then they have to install another priest, because the job of the priest is to stand between the people and God. So he prays for the people, intercedes for the people to God. Lord, heal Birmingham. Our streets in Birmingham, there is too much knife crime in Birmingham. And as the priest prays, then God hears the prayers, and knife crime gets down when the priests pray. But the comparison is these Old Testament priests from Aaron, they will die. After some years, when their time comes, they die. Which means if I have to go to them, they are not there. I have to wait for another priest. But Jesus is a priest with an oath. Now, you know that on a Monday, you wake up in the morning and you pray, he can receive your prayers because he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. I want us to get this. There are two things that I want us to get. The scripture that she read about Jesus praying when Lazarus died, after 4 days, Jesus arrives and he prays and he says, Father, I know that you hear my prayers. And for the sake of these people, hear my prayer today, answer me. So Jesus has the confidence that God hears his prayers. So I want us as a church to know that God hears our prayers. There is a difference between two people that are coming for intercession. One that is very confident of the fact that whenever I pray, God answers my prayer. And one that doubts and is not sure whether God is willing to answer their prayers, whether God hears their prayers. So Jesus says, I know that you always hear my prayers. So right now, all these people that are looking at me and making fun out of me, that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, they are going to have the shock of their life, because when I pray, I know that you hear me. And church, I want us to know that in Birmingham, we can cause change to happen because God hears our prayers. I said, God hears your prayers. I know that he said, oh, this man, when he prays, it's not about me. It's about you being a child of God, just knowing that I am a child of God. When I pray to him, he is going to answer me. So today, we're going to pray some prayers, and I want you to know that God hears your prayers and God will answer those prayers. I can give testimonies of times that we have prayed and we have seen God move and God do things. Not because of us, not because of me, but because there is a high priest that is ever living to make intercession for the saints. So right now, as we have come for the service, Christ Jesus is praying for the church at the pavilion right now, because he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. So one of the jobs that Jesus does is he is praying for you. He is praying for your daughter. He is praying for your cousin. He is praying for the names that you were shouting. Before you even shouted out those names, he is already praying for them, because he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. So the teaching that I have today is Christ's example for intercession. He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Therefore, the church at the pavilion has to be in intercession all the time. You are called to be an intercessor. As much as I am preaching, I am called to preach, but I am also called to be an intercessor. One calling that God has given to everybody is we are called to pray. I am fascinated, Dave, because one day the Bible says, and Jesus was praying at a particular place. The place is not mentioned, because what's important is the prayer. The Bible says he was praying at a particular place. And the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Not teach us how to preach. Not teach us how to cast out devils. Teach us how to pray for the sick that they can be healed. They saw that when this man intercedes, when this man prays, then healing takes place, deliverance takes place, the sick are healed. So the secret is in your prayer. The secret of where God wants to take the church is hinged in prayer in intercession. Because if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, forsake their evil ways, shall pray unto me, the Bible says, I shall hear them from heaven. I want you to know that heaven is waiting to hear your prayer. God wants to hear you pray. I know at times we pray silently. I know some are loud, like I'm a loud man, even without the microphone. I'm very loud. It's not because God is very far. I'm just different. So if you pray quietly, if you pray loudly, God wants to hear you pray. You might say, David, I don't know how to pray. I don't have many words to pray. Because anyone that has children, maybe you have 4 children, 3 children, your children address you differently, but you understand them differently. And because we are all different, I want you to know that God takes time to hear your prayers. What is it that we can pray for Birmingham today? For God to answer prayer, because he ever lives to make intercession. But God will not do anything until the church prays. God won't change Birmingham until the Pavilion Church prays. Our streets will not be rid of crime until we pray. Homelessness will increase if the church does not pray. Rapists in the neighborhood will thrive. Pedophiles will thrive. But we have the power to say in the postcodes where we live, Lord, this is not allowed. Because we are enforcers of what heaven wants to do in our town and in our cities. God wants to partner with us to do what heaven wants to see happening here. But he says, I cannot do it if I am not authorized by them. Remember, this domain God has given to the sons of men. Heaven is his footstool. Heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. He has given this realm to the children of men. And if the children of men won't pray and tell God, God, this is what we want to see in our church. God, this is what we want to see in the city of Birmingham. Lord, our city will not be bankrupt under our watch. This city will not be impoverished under our watch. The Bible says, pray for the city to which I have sent you. Pray for its prosperity, because in its prosperity, you will prosper. So if we don't pray for Birmingham to prosper, we will not prosper. If we don't pray for the peace of Birmingham, there won't be any peace. If we don't pray for miracles to take place, there won't be any miracles. So Christ Jesus is our example of intercession. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession. You are a priest forever. And I have come to challenge the church today to say you are a priest. Remember, the book of Revelation tells us that he has made us into a kingdom of kings and priests. In the New Testament, the kingdom of God is full of kings and priests. Why kings and priests? Because in the Old Testament, we had a priest, we also had the king. The king with a throne, with a crown on his head, and the priest for intercession. So it was a combination. And in the New Testament, God says, I am making a kingdom where everyone in the kingdom is a king and at the same time a priest. Which means when I pray, I am not praying just as a priest, but I have authority to enforce that those things should happen. So there is power in your intercession as a New Testament believer. God wants to release power in the streets. God wants to release the power of God in our families to change that teenager that has run away. Right now, we can call the name of your teenager to come back. Do you believe that? A teenager who is on drug right now, as we mentioned the name, if he is maybe Chris, and Chris is troubling a family, right now we can stand in the authority of being kings and at the same time priests, because priests stand between two parties that are at variance. There is no relationship between these parties. These parties are at war. We need someone who is accepted by both parties. So Jesus has come to us. We were at variance with God. No relationship with God. So he loves us and God loves Jesus. So Jesus comes in between, because intercession is coming in between. So he has given us the same ministry. Remember, Dave, the Bible says God was in Christ. reconciling the world to himself. And he has given us the same ministry of reconciliation. So how did Christ do it? He came in between us and God and said, Lord, they might have done wrong. They might have strayed their sins as red as scarlet. But because of my blood, I'm washing them as white as snow. Receive them. Now we have been received by the Father because Jesus came in between to intercede on our behalf. And he is saying, this church, Dave, this church is going to rise in intercession knowing the authority that is vested in them. We are not a weak church. You are not a weak believer. You are not waiting for another prophet to come to town. You have authority. You are a king in the New Testament, a kingdom of priests and kings. Am I talking to the right church today? Talk to me. Am I talking to the right church today? God has sent me today to tell you that you are powerful. You are a king. Because whatever comes out of the mouth of a king goes. I don't know whether you really get this one. Where me and Derek comes from, where we were born in Africa, when there is a king, it's not a democracy. So whatever comes out of the mouth of the king, it goes. There is no voting when a king speaks. But because we are surrounded by a democracy, we might not understand what I'm talking about. When a king opens his mouth, it is done. That's why the kingdom in the New Testament is a kingdom of priests and kings. If you say in the name of Jesus, be healed, sickness has to respect because you stand in the position of an intercessor. Because Christ is our example. He interceded. He prayed. And every time that Jesus prayed, things happened. If he attended a funeral service, it would tend to be something else. Because a great intercessor has arrived. So don't invite Jesus at a funeral service if you want to read the last part of the eulogy. It will be disturbed because as soon as Jesus arrives, he turns everything around. The great intercessor that ever lives to make intercession for the saints. So I'm about to close. Praise God. Are you ready to pray with me today? So Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 29 to 30, the Bible says, the people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor. I don't know whether it happens in Birmingham, where you can see injustice happening, where the poor are oppressed and there is robbery happening, mistreatment of people, and you can see the needy everywhere. And the Bible says they wrongfully oppress even the strangers. Now, the Bible then says, I have a solution. So I sought, in verse 30, I sought for a man, not a church, but just one man. I didn't seek for bishops or for prophets, but I just sought after one man. Why? Among them, who would make a wall and stand in the gap? Intercession is standing in the gap. And God says, I am not looking for the whole of Birmingham. I am not looking for the whole of the United Kingdom, but I'm just looking for one woman in this church. If we have one prayerful woman who stands in the gap, God says, I will answer, I will come in, I will heal, I will deliver when just one, not the whole church, but just one. Imagine if they become two. Two are better than one. One can chase 1,000, two, 10,000. God wants to raise a church that will declare things and things stand to the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. First John chapter 5, verse number 14 and 15, the Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And because he hears us, we know we have every petition that we bring before him. This is the confidence. Church, we have this confidence that when we answer, when we ask God according to his will, whatever is along and in line with the will of God, it will happen. Does God want Birmingham to be saved? So when we ask him to say, Lord, bring more souls into this church, we are praying according to his will. And because it's according to his will, we have the confidence that it is done. Does God want to heal even physical bodies? Yes. So even in this service, if you have some aches in your body, it is the will of God to heal you even right now, to perform a miracle right now in our midst. Because it is the will of God. So how do you know that God wants to do this thing? Is it written in his word? As long as it is written, it is the will of God. So you begin to cease to pray like, Lord, if it is your will, heal Dave. I don't know whether I'm speaking the right thing here. Have you ever had prayers like, Lord, if it is your will? If you want to check out the will of God, go to his word. Is it written? If it is written, then it becomes the will of God. Then you are no longer asking if it is his will because you know it is written. Lord, because you said it in your word, let it be so in my family. Let it be so in my body. Let it be so in this church. Let it happen right now in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to pray, Dave, as I sit down. Thank you for allowing me. Doug, thank you for inviting us to come. Unfortunately, Naomi could not make it because there was an emergency at work and she had to rush to sort out some things. That's why she didn't come. I came along with Derek. Thank you for listening to the word of God. But before I sit down, I want to make some prayers. And the first prayer, Dave, that I'm going to make as people are sitting down, if there be anybody in our midst who is feeling some pain in their body, we go to the will of God. By his stripes, you were healed. He took your infirmities. He took all your diseases. He was nailed on the cross. And he declared it is finished. And right now, by the authority vested in the church and vested in all of us, by the reason of the anointing, I declare right now, if you are sick in your body, or connected to anyone who is not in the church today and they are not feeling well, confidently I know that God wants to perform a miracle because it is the will of God to heal. Right now, in the name of Jesus, if you are here, I want you to touch where it is hurting if you can, and God is going to heal you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, according to your word, let it be so, that you carried our infirmities, you carried our diseases. I declare healing right now from the crown of the heads of your people to the soles of their feet. I command every pain and every sickness to come out of their bodies in the name of Jesus. Be healed. It's a service of healing to enforce the will of the Father in your life. Father, I thank you for the healing. Thank you, Father, that everybody is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the word of testimony. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So we want to pray for Birmingham. We pray for our city, oh God, where you have planted us as a seed, that we be the light to this city. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that Birmingham, it shall be well with you. We declare the peace of God over Birmingham. We declare prosperity over Birmingham. We declare that men and women will come running to the name of the Lord and kneel before the Lord, our God and our Maker. They will forsake every sin to come to the Lord in the name of Jesus. We pray against every crime in Birmingham in the name of Jesus. The spirit that causes crime and disobedience in Birmingham, the spirit that causes people to offend against the law, Lord, we come against it right now. In the name of Jesus, we speak peace to you, Birmingham. We speak prosperity to you, Birmingham. We speak expansion to you, Birmingham. You will not depreciate, but you will appreciate. In the name of Jesus, Birmingham, you will not go down. We declare
as intercessors from this place, that prosperity is coming to our shores. In the name of Jesus, good things will be talked about in Birmingham. The news that we have been receiving about Birmingham, we reverse it in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you the praise and we give you the honor today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now let's pray for the young people. We pray for our young people to come to the Lord in Birmingham. We call every youth to come and kneel before our God. In the name of Jesus, we pray for a change of heart. For the heart of kings are in the hands of the Lord. Therefore, Father, turn the hearts of the youths, Father. Father, the vices of this generation, the things that are taking our youths away, the system, oh Father, that's taking them away. Lord, we pray right now, may scales fall off from their eyes. May they see the goodness of the Lord. May they come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Father, that they can come and serve God with all their hearts. I give you the praise today, and I give you the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise God. Father, so I pray for this church that the river of life will continue to flow. I pray, oh God, that, Lord, you continue to increase even over the leadership, Father. Lord, that you lead them. They will not grow weary. They will keep running until the day of Christ. Now unto you, O God, who is able to keep them from falling, you are able to present them faultless before your glorious presence with exceeding great joy. To you, the true and only wise God, our Savior, Father, we thank you today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Thank you so much for having me and Derek in the service. We love you with the love of the Lord, and see you by God's grace. Amen.
Whew. Hope that stirred you. I'm just going to invite Anna up, who's going to lead us in taking communion. And just, you know, this is an act, another act of intercession, isn't it, to come to the table. Thanks, Anna.
Thanks. It's hard to know how to follow all that, but yeah, we want to join in with what God's doing, and in communion, we're coming together as a family. And we're part of his family. Earlier in the hymn that we sung, Be Thou My Vision, it was just after we'd been part of the giving and brought our offerings in. One of the verses kind of struck me, which is, riches I heed not, nor vain empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. And it made me think about our giving to the church and kind of linking in with our prayers and intercession as well. Who is our treasure? And whether we don't quite have enough materially, financially, or whether we have more than enough, actually our treasure is Jesus. And how we give our money and how we pray and how we serve reflects whether Jesus is our treasure. So I was reminded of that. And as we come together,